Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
We will continue our NFL preview. We previewed the Panthers earlier in the show. We will now preview the Jets, and that will come your way 20 minutes from now. Had a great weekend up in the Poconos, by the way, and I actually did a sports broadcasting clinic at my old sleepaway camp, Pine Forest Camp. So I did 4 sessions, so 4-hour sessions teaching sports broadcasting to some youngsters. One of the counselors at the camp actually came up to me, and she said, I've actually seen you because they played a video clip of you interviewing Manti Te'o in that Netflix documentary, and they showed that. And at first I'm like, oh, how are they like ripping my career? But then they were talking about covering difficult stories. So that was neat. And it was good to be up in the Poconos, always enjoy my time up there. But there's a wing place that I always go to when I'm up there. It's called the Barryville Hotel, the BVH Sports Bar. And their wings are probably the best wings I've ever had. The only thing that comes close to those wings is Barbill near Buffalo. And there's like some, I forget what it's called there. It's like a hot honey, like Cajun wing up in Buffalo, which is just absolutely to die for. Hold on. If I do a quick Twitter search, because I tweet about these wings enough time, I'll get you the exact pronunciation of the wings. It's the Cajun honey butter BBQ wings from Barbill Tavern. But the wings that I get from my guy Johnny at BVH, they're called Johnny Hots. So they are named after him. And they are a sweet hot sauce, but they have a very good kick to them. And they were a little extra spicy this time. But he has probably like 25 wing flavors. There's some other camps in the area. Junior Seau, the late great Junior Seau, and Ricky Williams actually once went to this bar because the wings are that good, and they were doing like a local football camp at one of the nearby camps in that area. There's a bunch of sleepaway camps. But he told me, I have a new wing sauce. So I go, okay, I got to try it. He goes, a buddy of mine brought back a ton of Georgia peaches, and he made a screaming peaches sauce out of it. So it's, I don't know how he did it, but he used the Georgia peaches and he somehow used that as the base with the, with some hot sauce in it. And this was some of the best sauce I've ever had. Like usually, I don't know about you, Samter, when you get past your traditional wings, sometimes the other sauces are like so rich and they're so fancy where I could eat like one or two of those. But when you're ordering a full order of wings, which like 10, 12 wings, whatever it is, I wouldn't want to eat 12 or 10 of those. Those wings, I could have ate 10 or 12 of those. They were that good. So Screaming Peaches is the new wing sauce right there at BVH, which I thought was phenomenal.
I'll have to try it out.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you're going up to the Poconos anytime soon, but
I mean, you know, if they're as good as you're saying, then maybe I'll have to make a trip up there just for that.
You know what I took actually there? We did a double dip.
Let me guess, a former producer of yours, not named me.
No, actually not a former. Former producer, but not a former producer of mine. I actually went there with the great Sugar Ray Martel, who was a longtime producer here at the Infinity Sports Network and now produces Mets Baseball on 880 WCBS. So we went up to a Buffalo Bills game, Buffalo Bills Patriot game. We saw Deion Dawkins and Tyler Medikevich. We went to Bar Bill. And then on the way back, the route takes you kind of close to where I go to in the Poconos or, you know, in that area. And I said to Ray, if you want to have some really damn good wings, I'll take you to this spot. And Ray actually said, because I go, what do you think was better, Bar Bill or BVH? He goes, BVH hands down, which is a big claim. And I love BVH. And I do say it's my favorite wing spot, and it is. But the only other wings that I've had that have been close to them are Bar Bill. There's a good spot in the city. Oh, why? I was used to be called Bar Coastal, and John Rothstein used to love these wings. And they're similar. They're not as good as the BVH wings, but they're similar with their sauce to Carey's Way. And they shut down, and then Plug Uglies, which is in the city, opened back up in that location. Oh, you used to live around there, right, Samter? And Plug Uglies just basically reopened up. I don't know what happened behind the scenes there, but they basically reopened up and had the Bar Coastal menu, and there was the Carey Way's wings on there, and it says, if you know, you know, on the menu. So there has to be something fugazi going on with the people that used to own Bar Coastal and whatever happened with Plug Uglies that opened it up because they mysteriously, very popular, mysteriously shut down. And then all of a sudden, Plug Uglies opens it back up, you know, months and months later, and they have the same damn menu. So I don't know what's going on there in the Wingverse. Anyway, we've been teasing this for a while. So I'll ask you this question, Samter. Brian Kelly so far at LSU, what would you think the perception is about Brian Kelly at LSU so far with this LSU family? What do you think about the job he's done in the first 2 years?
I mean, the first thing when you say Brian Kelly, LSU, the first thing you think of is just his weirdness, right? It's so weird. You don't think about Jaden Daniels and Heisman quarterback. Yeah. You think about how weird he was with the fake accent, with the weird videos and the recruiting trips and all these different things. But if you're talking about on the field as a coach, you would say decent job, good offense.
So, you know, we talked about Ryan Day the other day.
Yeah.
And we said he only has like, what is it, 8 losses? And you look at Ryan Day, and I'm probably a part of this problem because I crush Ryan Day because he's lost to Michigan 3 times. He cries, he makes a bunch of excuses. And Ohio State has regressed under him, even though they have been to a national championship game, but they haven't won. The success is all judged based off the standard of the university that you're at. Like Ohio State, Ryan Day, I can't say he's been bad. I can't say he's been unsuccessful, but I can't call him great because the standard there is to beat Michigan and to go win a national championship. Now, he's lost to Michigan 3 straight times, and he hasn't won a national championship. For Brian Kelly, though, he left Notre Dame because he didn't think he could win a championship at Notre Dame. You look at LSU since 2000, they've had 3 coaches to win a national championship. Nick Saban, before we thought Nick Saban was the way that we view Nick Saban today, right? That was his first championship in the sport. You had Les Miles, and then Ed Orgeron, go Tigers, he won a national championship at LSU. And you're right, I think most people, when they think of Brian Kelly at LSU, they look at it and they go, oh, the fake accent at first, the cheesy recruiting videos. But it's kind of crazy. His first 2 seasons at LSU, back-to-back 10-win seasons. And he is 20-7 as a head coach at LSU. But the standard at LSU, when you've had three different coaches win a championship in the last 24, 25 years, is to win a national championship. So in year one, he was in the SEC championship game. And in year two, he didn't have a defense, but he had a quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy. And you had two wide receivers get drafted in the first round. So Brian Kelly at LSU, I'm going to defend him. He's been good. And I think a lot of people, and I do this sometimes, would mock him so far because that first impression is so big. And that's engraved in so many people's memories. But Samter brought this up to me yesterday. He said, look at historically year threes for Brian Kelly. So Central Michigan, he was 4-7, 6-5, then 9-4 in year three. At Cincinnati, he was 10-3, 11-3, and then he was 12-0. Think about that. Notre Dame, 8-5, 8-5, 12-1. So if this trend continues, you know, LSU should be in the national championship contending conversation. Now, I don't think they'll be competing for a national championship. Like, they could have access to the playoff, but as we talked about yesterday, even though there's more access to the playoff, I still think there's only four teams that could win a national championship this year. And those four teams are Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas. But if he follows that year three trend, Samter, 10-4, 10-3, like 11, 12, like if he goes, if he did what he did last year and be 10-3, LSU is in the college football. You get to 10 wins at LSU inside the SEC, you're a college football playoff team. Now the quarterback, we saw a little bit above him in the bowl game. You know, he's been there for a while. We've seen him before. That's a big question mark because it is going to be a drop-off from Jaden Daniels. But you know that offense will be good. It's the improvements on the defense. Can this defense just be average this year? And you got Perkins, who's supposed to be a stud, and, you know, he's going to be an early pick in the draft. But the Brian Kelly year three trend is not something I was thinking about, but now I am thinking about it, and I'm fascinated to see this season from LSU football, you know, what they end up doing.
If you think about it, last year they finished 12th in the rankings. They would have been a playoff team or right around that number in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, Brian Kelly, like, he gets so much flack for all this other stuff. He's a really good coach.
He's a good coach.
And he's a good coach in turning programs around and making them contenders. His issue is turning them from that contender into a title team, right? With Notre Dame, he got, you know, Cincinnati 12-0, but obviously they couldn't contend. Notre Dame...
You saw him in the BCS championship game?
Correct. But like,
they got,
you know,
smothered by Alabama.
And absolutely embarrassed and, you know, hugging, you know, invisible girlfriend with Manti Te'o was.
Hey.
But at the end of the day, his issue has been getting over that hump and taking that next step from being contender to being, like, legitimate title hopeful. Like, Notre Dame that year, yes, they were in the title game, but, like, it didn't feel like they really belonged there.
Mm-hmm. But
they didn't
also
feel like the second-best team in the country that year.
I don't think Notre Dame is a championship-contending program anymore. You know, they're not a national championship-contending program.
You don't believe in Riley Leonard?
No, like, I think they could be really good, but when Notre Dame is really good or when people say it's great, it's they have the record of that would suggest they're a great team. But when they get into the elite games, there's no reason to believe in them. So Kelly, who did a wonderful job at Notre Dame, wonderful, he realized that and went to LSU. And even though, like, you're even seeing it, 10-4, 10-3 at LSU, yeah, it's a good start. But when you've had Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron all win championships since 2000, you went there to win a championship. So you could go continue to post double-digit win seasons. If you don't win the championship, which now it's tougher to do because you have to win more with a 12-team playoff, then yes, Brian Kelly will not be viewed as successful at LSU. Like, if he does the same thing he did at Notre Dame, where they're in the playoffs, double-digit wins, a bunch of years, that doesn't hold the same weight at LSU. You went to LSU to win a championship with your family. The only thing I'm just saying is I think the perception about Brian Kelly at LSU would be more negative than positive so far. But I think the coaching on the field has actually been more positive than what the conversation is in regards to Brian Kelly. But there's a few teams this year, like Ole Miss now in a 12-team playoff, they better be in. LSU in a 12-team playoff, they better be in. Penn State, James Franklin. I'm as critical of James Franklin as anybody. You better be in the playoff this year. Kelly's old school, Notre Dame. 12th team, you better be in the playoff. Because if you miss the playoff with four teams, yes, some of those fan bases, the local fan bases, will crush you. But when you expand this to 12, and, you know, some of those schools, I know Penn State's in the Big Ten, Notre Dame isn't a full-time conference member. But in the SEC, you're Ole Miss, you miss out on the college football playoff in a 4-team format, no one's crushing you. You know, LSU, you don't make a 14 college football playoff, even though the expectation eventually win a championship this year, I don't think anyone's crushing you. But when you augment it to 12, Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Marcus Freeman, those four guys better be in the college football playoff this year. Because if they're not, you'll have people who have already questioned Marcus Freeman. Those questions will get louder. Obviously, James Franklin has been questioned. Those questions will get louder and louder in that concern. And I think right now, you know, Brian Kelly's a little polarizing. Where like 50% of the people be like, oh, Zach, actually, you're right on. He's been good at LSU. And other people be like, oh, I can't get the images erased when he first took over the job. You missed 12-team format. There's no defending him. And Lane Kiffin, this is supposed to be a very good year for them. They could score a ton of points. We've seen that. You don't got to be great to make a 12-team format. I'm not saying Ole Miss needs to win a championship this year. I'm not saying Penn State needs to win a championship this year. Notre Dame needs to win a championship. I don't think those schools can. But to miss the playoff would be a failure of a season. And how that then determines how we view those coaches and how long those coaches then stay at their current institutions becomes a different conversation because now we're grading on a different scale. Where for a while it was, oh, you're just a good coach, not a great coach. You got a spot at a school for a decade plus. Now, you be 14 or 15 or 16, you know, 13 and just miss out on the playoff, I think that's going to give a lot more people, deservedly so, ammunition to call for people to get fired. 12 teams changes the entire landscape of how we'll view coaches in college football. All righty, this is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to this top 10 list later on in the show. But next up, we got to preview the JETS Jets. We'll do so with the former Jets offensive lineman. Now does a great job analyzing the Jets on SNY and is also a national pundit on the Carden Show on FS1. Willie Colon will join us next.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, AutoTrader.
Football season is right around the corner.
Holden himself runs to the left. He's to the five. Lamar's in. Touchdown, Ravens. They're going to have a championship game in Baltimore because the Hayes of the barn.
Will it be your team's year to hoist the Lombardi?
In the shotgun, Mahomes. He runs and he throws. Caught. Touchdown. It's caught. Hardman caught the ball. The Chiefs have won. The Chiefs have won. The entire bench empties. Chasing Mahomes in the end zone. Their third Super Bowl in 5 years.
We preview all 32 teams right here on the Zach Gelb Show. The New York Jets.
All righty, time to preview the New York Jets. We'll do so with a former Jets offense lineman. Does a great job now, pre and post on SNY. And you can catch him each and every day on FS1 on the Carden Show. And that is Willie Colon, kind enough to preview gangrene with us. Willie, how you been, big fella?
Babe.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Let me start you off with Davante Adams. There's been a lot of speculation about him this week potentially getting traded to the Jets. I saw the agents of Davante Adams just sent a message to Adam Schefter that said this is baseless, unfounded speculation, and Davante is expected to be with the Raiders as there has been absolutely no trade talks, period. What do you make of this statement from Davante Adams' agents, and do you think this maybe puts a stop on all this speculation for now?
Well, listen, who knows what's ever going to happen, right? But I think at the end of the day, you know, Davante Adams, you know, he wants to win, and he hasn't been able to do that in Las Vegas with Aiden O'Connell. And moving forward, we know the best version of Davante Adams we've seen was when Aaron Rodgers was throwing him the football. So if you're the New York Jets and this year has to be all in, and that's been kind of the mantra thus far going into the start of the season, you have to imagine by maybe late August or sometime during this September, this may be a legit possibility that Davante Adams will be lining up and playing for the New York Jets. However, if you are Antonio Pierce, you hate it, right? You hate it because it's the distraction going into training camp. You don't need to hear this, and you especially don't want it, this type of headline circling around your star player, especially when you have a young nucleus in which they have in Las Vegas. So it's a situation where this is just going to have to play out. I think the temperament of Davante Adams means a lot, how he approaches the game, how he walks on the field, if he, you know, how friendly and kind is he talks to the media. Everything's going to be under one big microscope. So we'll see. But I think right now, if his agent's saying there's nothing to be seen here, that it's all mush, then we just have to perceive it as that.
In terms of compensation for Davante Adams, would you give up the Jets a first round pick in the 2025 draft if that seals the deal to get Davante Adams?
Well, listen, I think it goes back to what Aaron Rodgers said in the offseason. And he pretty much said, hey, if we don't win, this whole thing is over. And so if that's the case, then you may have to entertain that, because Woody, from all reports, Woody was pissed off. You know, once Aaron Rodgers went down and Zach Wilson wasn't up to par, or he wasn't competent enough to lead that offense, that thing fell apart. And it was a lot of weight put on that defense to at least stay afloat or win games for the New York Jets. They were 7-10 last year. You can't tell me with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, that thing is flipped around. You know, they may be looking at 10-7 or maybe more. So I think right now that organization, I think everybody's looking around themselves in that building like, man, it's either do or die. There is no more if. We either get it done or this thing is over.
I'll also be fascinated to see, because not only is it the Davante Adams speculation, I think he'll be on the Raiders by week one, but today Brandon Ayuk demands a trade, and the Niners are like, oh, we don't have an intention to trade for him. I'll be fascinated to see if the Jets maybe give a call to the 49ers and see if they get a deal done there.
Yeah, that whole Brandon Ayuk situation, they don't have to do anything. Right? That's what people have to understand. Yeah, he may want to go. And listen, I'm a big fan of Brandon Ayuk. I love him. I love him in San Francisco. He hasn't gone anywhere. But, you know, from a business standpoint, the Niners just sit still. He can't do anything. You know, so he can pound on the door all he wants and be as frustrated as he wants. And he can, you know, talk about Jaden Daniels and how much they had great times at Arizona State. The bottom line is Brandon Ayuk will be playing for the San Francisco 49ers until they feel like they make a move that suits them best. But right now, it is what it is.
I think it's a great point that you bring up, and I think it's more powerful when a player says it compared to like what I say, because I did say, hey, the Niners could get a little dirty here and play you know, put their hands in the mud with Brandon Ayuk. It's almost now, because we're in this player empowerment era, Willie Colon, a player says he wants to get traded, and instantly everyone's like, oh, it's done. You got to trade him. The 49ers would be crazy, I think, to trade him right now.
Yeah, listen, you have Brock Purdy. They have a core with Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and offensive line. You know, they've been competing and fighting for Super Bowls for the last 4 or 5 years. They're not going to break that up because of one disgruntled receiver, right? Like let's be honest with it. Brock Purdy is a damn good quarterback. And he's a damn good quarterback that proved last year that he can win games. Uncanny on time. No matter what you say about Brock Purdy, he can win games. But he won those games with Brandon Ayuk. And I understand his numbers speak for themselves. And does he warrant the bag, and does he deserve the bag? 100%. I would never put my hands in another man's pocket. But the business is the business. You know, he's tied. His hands are tied in this regard. And the Niners would be like, hey, man, it's about Niner football. And right now we're the best operation in the NFL when you're on the field playing with us. And that's how they feel.
Willie Colon here with us. Obviously, getting back to the Jets, it's easier when you have the quarterback. But when you get to the head coach with Robert Saleh going into a massive year for him, with him clearly being on the hot seat, where's your confidence in the coaching abilities of Robert Saleh as a head coach?
I love Robert Saleh. I do. I'm a big fan of him. I'm a big fan of Joe Douglas. What happened last year was they got caught with the pants down. They didn't expect Aaron Rodgers to go down after 4 snaps. And it goes back to my earlier point. They also expected Zach Wilson to be a lot better. He didn't amass the deficiencies of offense. So with that said, you're looking at an offensive line that they did repair, but comes with an asterisk, right? You're talking about Tyron Smith. You know, he's been in and out of the lineup. You know, you talk
can
about
they stay
the
healthy? It's the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's it. And right now, with everything that's, you know, it's all chips in the middle of the table, football's going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. But when – it's not about the ifs, but when it does happen, whatever happens can't derail the season. Robert Saleh and company are going to have to figure out whatever happens along the way, whether it's guys in and out of lineup, you know, the offense maybe not producing or firing out, they still have to win football games, and they have to do it at a high level because they have to get to the playoffs. There is no not making the playoffs for the New York Jets this year. They have to get to the playoffs. They have everything. They have the star power. They finally have their quarterback. Now it's time to go win and get it done. So for me, Robert Saleh, you know, I'm not going to say he's on the hot seat, but it's steamy in there. It's mighty steamy. And so I think he knows it. And I think he understands that he's out of excuses. I think Jets fans are tired of hearing excuses. They're tired of, you know, everything that comes along with being a Jets fan. I think Jets fans are exhausted. They just want a winning outfit. They want to see winning football coming from New York wearing the green and white. So with all that said, I have a lot of – I think Robert Saleh, you know, he was brought to New York to change the defense. He did that. You talk about the superstar power they have with Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, CJ Mosley, Quinton Williams. Now they have Hassan Reddick. So they have guys that can go. Now it's about winning and getting it done and being where they need to be in the postseason.
I know it's not about individual awards, but I look at Rodgers. I expected to win comeback player of the year this season. Coming off the Achilles, though, the age factor as well. I know you expect the Jets to win, but what do you think we'll see out of Rodgers this year? Because we all know how high of a standard we hold him to.
Listen, is Aaron Rodgers somewhat eccentric? Sure. But is he a damn good football player? Probably one of the best to ever do it at the quarterback position? 100%. So what I expect is to see Aaron Rodgers put on the cape in the Meadowlands and then playing high-octane football. And if he's able to do it with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and hopefully a healthy offensive line, I can see them being a top 10 offense in this league. That's just real. Now you're talking about Tyler Conklin at the tight end position. You're talking about legit weapons. You talk about what we were able to do in the draft. So, yeah, I expect him to be Aaron Rodgers as we've known and grown and seen from him every Sunday, winning games, putting the team on his back and getting it done. That's what I expect.
When you look at the ceiling for this team, how far are you willing to go? Like AFC East champs, AFC championship game in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, how far are you willing to go with your confidence with this squad?
You know, for me, it goes back to what I said earlier. How do you manage the season? Things happen in the season that you just can't account for. But good coaches and good outfits know how to overcome them. Even with injuries or whatever, you know how to get through and win games. Can they stay on par with the elites of the league. You know, when you see what Kansas City wasn't great last year, but they figured it out and they got it done. There are certain outfits, man, and I mean outfits in regards to teams, they don't fall off the cliff. You know, they kind of hold on. They guys step up. They understand what they need to do on Sunday, and they win football games. I expect the Jets to win a lot of football games this season with Aaron Rodgers at the helm and just be consistent. So for me, it's just a matter of them getting to the AFC Championship. I can see them getting to the AFC Championship. After that, you know, we'll see what happens. But if as of right now, if I'm looking at them on paper, they look like a team that should be competing for AFC Championship.
You know, before we let you run, Willie Colon, inside the AFC East, how would you – because the Patriots right now at the floor, they're at the bottom, you know, being fourth. How would you rank 1, 2, and 3, Bills, Dolphins, and Jets?
As of right now, for me, it's Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Pats, right there.
Why do you put the Jets above the Bills, just wondering?
Because of Aaron Rodgers, our defense. I think this team right now understands there's a sense of heightened urgency. You know, this is a ball club that's been through it all and seen it all. And, you know, one of the tough things about covering the Jets every Sunday is watching their star players, especially in the post-meetings, you know, you can start to see the fire slip out of those guys' eyes, right? They're fighting, they're crawling, they're starting to realize there are some things just bigger than what we could do on the field. It takes a team. Football is a team sport. Like, it takes every guy in the helmet to put in and do their due diligence and give it all they got. And, you know, I was sitting there watching Garrett Wilson, sometimes speechless.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting there watching sometimes Breece Hall frustrated. Why am I not getting the ball? I'm obviously that guy. Give me the ball. I was sitting there watching Quentin Williams being the ultimate businessman, really trying to rally his guys and say the right things after tough losses, knowing damn well they should have won that game. I remember seeing Sauce Gardner, you know, kind of looking like a deer in headlights, like not knowing what to say. And I've been a part of that, Zach. You know, I was on a 4-12 Jets team. In Valley, we didn't have nearly as great a talent that this team has, but we were all veteran, battle-hungry guys, really scrapping and crawling, trying to figure out why we can't get one win on Sunday. And when that fire starts to dampen and you're in the car with your family, man, and everybody's quiet and everybody's like, well, baby, you did your job. Well, I get paid to do my job, but mm-hmm. I also get paid to win, you know? And so those guys, you can start to see that that's when it's like, man, is it ever going to happen? Because those guys come from winning institutions, right? They were brought into New York to be the difference, and they are the difference, and they're still not winning. So it doesn't add up for them.
Last thing I'll go ahead.
So with all that said, man, I really want those guys to win because football is a lot better, a lot funner. I don't know if fun is a word, but I'm saying
today it is.
It's a damn good time to be alive when you win in football on Sunday.
Last thing I'll ask you, Willie Colon. We know if they don't make the playoffs, the coach is gone. If they go 8-9 or even 9-8 and miss the postseason, do you think that's it for Rodgers? You think he walks away?
Can't say that. I honestly don't know. But you're talking about a 41-year-old man, because I think he turns 41 in December, and he'll be coming off an Achilles. At that point, you would have to think from a business mind, you know, just me just talking, you may have to reset the whole situation.
He is Willie Colon. Willie, appreciate it. Keep on crushing it at SNY and also the Cardin Show. We appreciate you doing this.
No, I appreciate you, Zach. Thanks, baby.
Thanks so much. There he is, Willie Colon, previewing the Jets. High expectations for the Jets this year. I don't think anyone has higher expectations, though, for Gangreen than Marco Belletti. You're really optimistic on this Jets team.
I am. I really, other than it's the Jets, give me a reason on paper that this team is not good.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of hearing, well, it's the Jets. Something will go wrong. That's nonsense. I can't put stock into that.
The only concern I have for the Jets, and Willie touched on it, they improved the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
but the health of that offensive line. Now, they did get some insurance with the offensive tackle out of Penn State. And, you know, I know some Jet fans will say, oh, it's great they drafted someone, but they were also optimistic when they drafted Mekhi Becton. So that's the only concern I have, is the offensive line's ability to just be average. All they got to be is average, because even though Rodgers coming off the Achilles, he's got some mobility and a really good quarterback could help out an offensive line that's not great.
That's it. There's the two things. There's Aaron Rodgers, who's smart enough to not only be able to slide the line, but also know when to get rid of it and know when to protect his guys. So that part of it you have. Then you add in a guy who's just a difference maker in Breece Hall. We forget how good Breece Hall is. Mm-hmm. Look how good he looked last year.
Yeah.
And the guy was coming off a torn knee. We expected last year to be, that was the Jets taking Dalvin Cook. Use that to be able to use him early in the year because Breece Hall is not going to be the real Breece Hall. You're going to need at least a year to see it. And he
was wiped
already,
away instantly.
He was already Breece Hall from his first carry. So you're telling me he's getting stronger and smarter, and he comes now he's a full year off of that knee. Plus you get Rodgers back. The offensive line is improved. I understand there may still be some question marks. Can Smith stay healthy? We don't know. We'll find that out. But I think Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to be able to make up for some of those deficiencies.
And I'll give you two more concerns. The coach is a concern, but also coach looks a lot different when you get the star quarterback back. And then the other thing is, I have a little concern about Rodgers. Not him individually, but you saw Rodgers in Green Bay at the end be in those playoff games. And early on, right, a lot of times the defense is blamed. But the playoff game against San Francisco, where they lost the divisional round, you know, tried to force the ball to Devontae Adams, had Alan Lazard wide open. The game against the Buccaneers, how many times Brady turned over the football? They went three and out, three and out, three and out, like negative yards. So in the NFC, it was easier at that time to win. And now you go into a tougher conference. And that is something to me in terms of getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. Can they get through? Those would be my only three concerns with those teams, but I think they're all manageable.
So we're now into the idea of what Rodgers is going to be in the AFC title game, and can he step up at that point for the Jets? I think they sign up for that.
Yeah, of course, they would.
And I think that's where, again, Rodgers, I know he's had some deficiencies. I was the first one to tell you years back with the playoffs. We've talked about this, but it feels like for almost 10 years. There's a ton of times where you looked at Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, hey, you know what? You're supposed to be the guy. Step up. You're in a playoff game. I don't want to hear about your defense. I don't want to hear about your running game.
Special
I don't want to hear about any of it. I don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to hear about your coach. I want to hear about you. You were the guy that put him in this position. You got to get him over the top. So I would rightfully so crush him if he's unable to do that when everything's in his lap and he's not able to perform. But again, we're going into a season. What's to tell me that Aaron Rodgers won't have a similar type season? I expect early on he's going to be slow. The Achilles, it's going to be more on Breece Hall. It's going to be more of make the smart play, not a million plays.
But you just got to get that body turned up and cooking in November.
He'll get himself back into not just playing shape, but also back like just back into football. I understand his age, but I also think he knows his age. So he knows the limitations that he has. He's going to play well.
Just real quickly, the Jets or this team going into this year? Chiefs or the Jets?
It's still the Chiefs. You got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Bengals or the Jets?
I would probably take the Bengals.
Bills or the Jets?
The Jets.
Dolphins or the Jets?
Jets.
Ravens or the Jets?
The Jets.
Texans or the Jets?
The Jets.
Let's go. That's probably it, if you think about it. Browns or the Jets?
Jets.
Yeah.
Because there's two teams
AFC
that are above
West,
them.
No. Jaguars, I'm not going to say, are better than the Jets.
There's two teams above them. It's the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs. On paper, the Jets might be better, but I don't care. You're a two-time defending Super Bowl champ.
It's the Brady factor. Even if you don't have the elite talent around the quarterback, doesn't matter. They win.
You're the Chiefs. The Bengals with Burrow coming back and with T. Higgins on the last year, I feel like this is their last hurrah to get them over the top with this current group.
Before you got to reset a little bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that keeps them a little bit above the Jets. Plus, they've also done it. They've performed. When Joe Burrow's there, Super Bowl and an AFC title game, they've performed in the playoffs. They're a little bit above. I do think the Jets on paper are even with any team that you put out there. There is no team in the NFL that when you on paper say they're all head and shoulders above the Jets. I don't see how. I really don't. The Jets are that talented. They're that loaded.
And just to be clear, Marco Belletti is not a Jets fan.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, you despise the Jets.
Well, I'm a despise is strong. I have no interest one way or the other. I don't care. Yeah. No, I don't care. I when they play, I'm not rooting against them. I'm not rooting for them. I don't care. But this team on paper is damn good. And the only reason everybody keeps downplaying it is because it says Jets. That's it. There's no other reason.
Take a time out on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we do return, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call it the News Brief.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next. because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects. And say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, we are sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families and members on the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week, it's Pirates rookie phenom Paul Skeens, who had a no-hitter through seven innings before getting pulled last week. But Skeens will get redemption starting tonight's All-Star game for the NL after beginning his career with a 6-0 record and a 1.90 ERA. In his first 11 starts. This is the defensive player of the week, right? This is the whole Reed Samter for Navy Federal. It's the defensive player of the week. Is that what it is?
That's correct.
I should probably just give it to the Pirates organization for the defense that they put on Paul Skeens and pulling him from that no-hitter, which I was irate and still incensed about. So I don't even like I have to read there. Ooh, getting redemption for the All-Star game. Like, getting old, at least you get to start that. There's no redemption. Well, they screwed him over. 99 pitches. He had six pitches back in the seventh inning. Let him go out there for the eighth. Still annoys me.
A week later, you're still all fired up.
Oh, I'm hot about that.
Oh, you're hot.
Oh, yeah.
You're like Carlos Alcaraz. And we'll get to that.
We have that audio, right?
We sure do.
So this is Anibal Croft, who's doing the interview at Wimbledon after Carlos Alcaraz defeated Novak Djokovic. And this is what she had to say when interviewing Novak.
Novak, I know this is not the result you wanted, but you were up against such a hot, talented opponent today in Carlos Alcaraz.
He
was on fire. Can you just share with us your thoughts on the final?
That's what I was about to say. He was definitely very hot today.
I was locked into the championship, and I was watching that live, and I'm like, what did she just say? And then I go, is no one picking up on this, what you just said? And then Novak goes, you know, yeah, he definitely was hot today. You know, definitely was hot out there. So how about that from Anibal Croft? Let's go to Ross Bjork, the former AD at A&M, now the AD at The Ohio State. He was on with our buddy Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And this is Ross Bjork talking about the future of the Big Ten.
For now, and I say for now, I'm talking the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. After that, there's going to be more movement, and you're going to have, I think there's going to be an economic, you know, consolidation around the whole ecosystem.
Does economic consolidation mean, like, maybe some of the ones that the Big Ten might feel, or the SEC, the two major ones might feel, that aren't in making the investments in their programs, maybe they might get cut out from this and not be able to share the pie in the future?
Yeah. You know, we don't know yet. Look, the economics of our two conferences, we're not the same as the other conferences. We're not the same as the lowest level of Division I. And so is there more stratification that has to take place? What that means, how it all works out, look, I don't have that crystal ball, but I just think where we're headed and the conversations and the economics, they're just different.
I've had this conversation for 2 years. I think a great misnomer out there is because it's the haves and the have-nots that the Big Ten and the SEC are just going to be like, open up the door, we'll take everyone. They've made strategic moves. Oregon. And even that took some time. USC. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma started all that. But, like, outside of Notre Dame, Florida State, I guess I'll throw Clemson and Miami in there. Outside of those four teams, I don't think you should be waiting by your phone and thinking if you're another school that the Big Ten and the SEC is going to come begging for you to join the conference. Now, does it eventually just shift into one big mega, you know, super conference where it's like 65 teams and then everybody else is in the not category? Potentially. But if it stays true to the Big Ten and the SEC, I only think those four brands are really the ones that can be expected to go to either the Big Ten or the SEC. And I don't think Notre Dame, if they go somewhere to be the Big Ten, I don't think Notre Dame's going to the SEC, to be clear.
And forget about, you know, to Ken Carman's question there in the middle, forget about expansion, but does it mean like programs like Northwestern or Rutgers or Vanderbilt, do they get squeezed out?
Relegated?
Because they can't contend with those bigger. So maybe like,
I think,
you know,
it also depends on TV market.
Yeah.
So like,
I mean, Rutgers is too
Rutgers
big with
New
York. Yeah.
Rutgers gives you the tie into New York. Do I expect Rutgers to ever be a great team in the Big Ten? No. So it's what do they actually value, and that's the economic standpoint of this.
So Vanderbilt might be out of luck. I mean, they can't compete on the field, and they don't really seem to have the market size. I mean, they have a decent location, but it seems like maybe
pretty damn
some
good
teams.
Location.
Yeah.
So who knows?
That's part of it.
So Colin Montgomery, he basically said and suggested that Tiger Woods should retire. Tiger Woods shot back at this a little bit. Here is the whole exchange. It's cut six.
Comments, you know, last week from Colin Montgomery, who said, why is he here? He should retire. There's no point to this. Do you feel that's a bit hurtful and you've earned the right to you make the decision when you decide?
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
That's what I mean. You've earned that. You've deserved that.
So when I get to be at his age, I can still make that decision. Well, he doesn't.
I love that from Tiger Woods. And here's why I love it. I'm a huge Tiger fan. I expect nothing out of him. But you're still the great Tiger Woods, even if you're not playing like it. And when Colin Montgomery saying what he said, even though he's probably not wrong, I love Tiger Woods giving a little dagger back and a little shot right back. I thought that was awesome. And we don't have time to play the derby call, but I will say this. As Bobby Witt came just short to tying up the derby, I made a last-second bet last night. At 7:56, I logged on to FanDuel. I didn't even see they were offering a 30% odds boost. And I said, I like Teoscar Hernandez. My friends and I in our fantasy baseball league, we've like obsessed over Teoscar Hernandez the last few years. There's been like a lot of trades where people have acquired him, you know, teams that weren't that good, and they ended up getting him, Teoscar Hernandez. I said, I'm going to place a bet on him. I only threw $25, but I ended up winning $325 last night on the home run derby. And I tweeted this out like right at 7:58. I can't believe I just placed a bet on the home run derby, but this is what I'm going with. And it was 25 to win 325. So very happy on that one. And when that ball, I thought it was going out. He's down to one out left. I thought, you know, he needed three home runs, and he got two. When that ball was about to go out, I'm like, oh, there you go. It's going to get tied. And then when it hit the wall, I was like, yeah, yeah, bleep, yeah. Fozzie Whitaker will join us next from SEC Media Days. We'll talk a little Longhorn.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. brought to you by Merck.
Master outdoor cooking this summer with the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, the inspiring and practical new guide from Stephen Rinella, host of the Meat Eater podcast and television show. With over 100 recipes for meat, fish, poultry, and game birds, accompanied by lush photography and easy-to-follow tips, the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook is the ultimate guide to open-air cooking. Whether you've hunted the ingredients yourself or forged them from the supermarket, because food just tastes better when it's caught, cooked, and eaten outside. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook by Stephen Rinella is available now.